At the end of the supper, after Jesus had washed his disciples' feet and after Judas has left them, Jesus says to them, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." Now, when we hear what Jesus says to us, when we hear the words of our Lord here in John's Gospel, and when we hear what he says to the disciples and to us, his disciples almost 2,000 years later, we hear a new commandment, he says, that you love one another. And I was struck by his words, new commandment. Well, I don't know about you, but that doesn't necessarily sound new to me. After all, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in Matthew chapter 22, in Mark chapter 13, and in Luke chapter 10, Jesus tells them that the summation of the law is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And in so saying, he was quoting from one of the core passages in the law, not a Ten Commandment, but the summation, the root, the whole, the cornerstone, the rock bed basis upon which the entire commandments of the Lord are placed. In the Hebrew tradition, it's known as the Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And after it says that, it then says this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And to that then, Jesus adds, and your neighbor as yourself. A new commandment? It sounds to me as though Jesus is articulating a commandment that was present, implicit, throughout the Hebrew Scripture, throughout the Jewish experience of God, throughout the experience of the people of God, the calling that we have to love one another as we have been loved by God. How is it, therefore, a new commandment? The word here for love is the same word we looked at 2 weeks ago. It's the word agape. It is the ultimate form of love. You got three words again, I'll rerun time. Three words for love in Greek: eros, which is sexual love. Sometimes it's translated as lust. Then there's phileo, or the medium kind of love, the love that you have between friends, the love that you give in order to get, or the love that you give because you have received. Phileo love, it's the same root word upon which the name for the city of Philadelphia comes, the city of brotherly love, phileo, Philadelphia. And then there's the third form of love, the highest form of love, agape, or in the verb form of the word, agapao, meaning to love, or I love with ultimate love that asks nothing in return, expects no response, and loves simply because of the nature of the lover, the person doing the love. Those three forms of the word for love in Greek, of those three words, here Jesus is using the ultimate form, agape love. And when he says to them, just as I have loved you, agape, let's make up an English word. just as I have agape'd you, so also you should agape one another. Just as I have loved you, agape'd you, so also you should love, agape one another. Well, I think I could handle, I won't touch the first one. I think I could handle phileo. Zoom. I think I could handle phileo. You know. Huh? No, not filet of fish, no. Phileo love. The medium form of love. I love you because you have done something for me. I love you because you have given me a hug. I love you because you have given me $100. I love you because you have given me whatever. I love you because you love me. That's phileo love, my friends. Brotherly love, sisterly love. We won't go there either. Brotherly love sometimes is very little loving in it. Sometimes it results in beating up arms. My mother used to stand between my brother and me because he would get frustrated with me, and he'd come out, isn't this right, mother? He'd want to hit me. And I can remember one time my brother, I don't know how old I was, we were living over on Royal Lane, this was before 74, and he lays out and hits me so hard in the stomach, I fall down and roll on the floor, hurting. And I can remember mother running in from the kitchen to stand between me and my brother. A mother protecting her child from her other child, no less. So brotherly love isn't always loving, but my friends, the word means that. The love that you have between siblings, the love that you have because you have received, the love that you give in order to get. Sometimes it could be translated like. Of course, that doesn't work with my brother either, because sometimes I don't like what he does. But I do love him. You can choose your friends, you can't choose your family, you know. No. It's not eros, and it's not phileo. It is agape love. Ultimate love. Divine love. The love of God, which brought Jesus down from heaven on high and put him on the cross for our sins. Eternal love. That's the love he's talking about here. Just as I have loved you, so also you should love one another. Just as I have expressed God's agape for you, unearned, unmerited, undeserved love, so also now, you should love one another. You should have unearned, undeserved, unmerited love for one another. Well, I'm only going to love them if they deserve it. Sorry. That's phileo. That's not agape. Well, I'm only going to love them if they're going to change. Sorry. That's phileo. That's not agape. Well, I'm only going to love them if they look and sound and smell and act just like me. Sorry, that's phileo. It's not agape. Well, I'm only going to love them if they're Methodist. Sorry, that's phileo. That's not agape. Well, I'm only going to love them if they bring a big covered dish meal. Nope, sorry. That's phileo. It's not agape. Well, I'm only going to love them if they're Christians. Sorry, that's phileo. That's not agape. Well, I'm only going to love them. Anytime you begin your statement, I'm only going to love them if you have phileo. You don't have agape. What if God had said, I'm only going to love you if you obey me? I'm only going to love you if you're perfect. I'm only going to love you if you do what I say. I'm only going to love you if you obey the commandments. I'm only going to love you if you keep the law. What if God had said that to us? I think we'd be in trouble, friends. God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. No ifs. No, you've got to be perfect. No, you've got to keep the law. No. Faith. Making the connection. But God loves us anyway. While we were yet sinners, still in our sins, still doing it, Jesus died for us. That's agape, friend. Unearned, unmerited, undeserved, and we are all undeserving, friends. Love. Agape love. That's what Jesus said to his disciples. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. How is it new? How is this new? Well, you got to remember the situation that the Jews were finding themselves and what they believed about the love of God and what they believed about the covenant that they had with the Father and what they believed they were supposed to do. You see, you got to remember that in that world, in that day and age, they believed that God would only love them if they obeyed. That God would only forgive them if they obeyed and tried to do the best they could do to approximate the law. To live according to the best approximation of the law. And it was like you had a set of scales. And they believed that if you did enough good and you obeyed the law enough and you did enough sacrifices in the temple and you were good enough, the scales on the good side would outweigh the bad and the sins on the other side, the bad side. And if it outweighed, if the good and the sacrifices outweighed the bad, then God would love them. And God would accept them. And God would forgive them. And God would receive them into his kingdom. That's the world Jesus went into. That's the world into which Jesus was born. A world that viewed God, a Jewish world, that viewed God as having phileo love. Regardless of the fact that they, in the Greek Old Testament, already were saying agape for love the Lord your God. Regardless of that, they viewed God as only loving those who would obey. That's the world Jesus was born into. And that's the world he came to deliver. And that's why the message that Jesus has for his disciples is new. Yes, we are called to love the Lord our God. And we are called to love our neighbors with the same love that God has for us. And God doesn't have phileo love for us. He has agape love, ultimate love. Now, Jesus said this to his disciples at the meal, prior to his arrest, prior to his conviction, prior to his crucifixion, prior to his death, prior to his resurrection. He said to them in the past tense, just as I have loved. Past tense. Actually, I thought it was interesting. In English, we got past tense. And we got a perfect tense. And we got a future tense and a future perfect tense. And we got the present tense. In Greek, they have a tense called aorist. And I can illustrate this. I can do it pretty easily. You have present tense, which is what's going on right now. You have imperfect tense, which is sometime in the past, not now, but sometime in the past, and it might still be going on today. For instance, the worship service is still going on. That's present tense. But we started the worship service by singing a hymn. That was imperfect past. Then you have aorist. And that's past that's completely done. Totally and over with. Sunday school is aorist tense past. It's done. It's not going on right now, and we're in the midst of it, and it started in the past. No, it is done, completely, totally finished. Some of the teachers are saying, whew. That's aorist tense. Totally and completely past. It's not continuous to now. It's not indeterminate in terms of its pastness. It is past and done. And the word here that he uses for love, it's a verb, is that completed past tense, aorist. Just as I have loved you in the past. Wow. Just as I have loved you, past tense, aorist tense. You also should love, future tense, one another. Jesus isn't dead yet. Jesus hasn't even been crucified yet. He's talking not... Normally when we talk about the love of God, and I did it just a few minutes ago, we talk about the love of God expressed to us on the cross. Jesus here, yes, he's anticipating that, but he's speaking past tense about what he's already done. He's speaking to them past tense about what he has already done. And what has Jesus already done that shows forth the love of God for us? Well, firstly, and most importantly, he was born. Who is Jesus? Is he just some good and wise teacher? Is he just some man that God has chosen to be his Messiah? Is he just some good rabbi walking the streets of Jerusalem teaching the people about the love of God? Or is he God incarnate, placed inside human flesh? We proclaim in the church that Jesus is God and man at the same time. We proclaim that Jesus is God intended, placed in a tent of human flesh. We have a wonderful Christmas hymn. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. We believe that Jesus is God and fully man. And this God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, Jesus, the Son of God, was willing to allow his divinity to be hidden inside flesh. Hidden inside skin and bones and meat. Hidden inside the human body that he had. He didn't give up his divinity, he was still God. But instead of blowing everybody away by the glory of his divinity, if he walked around with his godness showing, he hid it inside his human flesh. That's an act of humility, my friends. He taught us about the love of God with his words and with his actions, by healing the sick and forgiving sinners. And by standing between mobs trying to stone sinners and reminding them, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And then he knelt at his disciples' feet and did the job of the lowliest of slaves by washing his own disciples' feet. Acts of humility. And all of them acts of agape love. All of them are acts of agape love. And what Jesus is saying here, principally, is just as I have loved you, just as I was willing to take the lower position of a human being and hide my divinity inside human flesh, just as I was willing to stand between self-righteous accusers and sinners, Just as I was willing to heal and touch people who are impure. Just as I was willing to forgive. Just as I was willing to touch your stinky, icky feet and wash them. So also, you should love each other. That's what Jesus calls us to do. In human terms, we are called to love one another. Now, we have examples of that kind of love in our lives every day. Think of our mothers. It is Mother's Day. You knew you couldn't get away with this without having a Mother's Day message of some kind. God is like a mother, in that no matter how frustratingly angry children can be, God still loves them. Let's hear that again. No matter how annoyingly, frustratingly, let's make up an English word again, angrifyingly, that's a good one, angrifyingly, no matter how awful your kids are, you still love them. They don't deserve it. Yeah, that's true. They don't. They probably deserve a good thrashing. Yeah. Big ones. I deserve them. And I got them too. Mom would probably say not enough of them. And yet, mothers love. And in that respect, God is like mothers, or more appropriately, mothers are like God. They love without condition. They love even when the one who is being loved is totally unlovable. They love. Grandmothers are the same way. Except grandmothers get to spoil the kid too. Isn't that right? Love, agape love, unearned, unmerited, undeserved love, love of the unlovable, because of the nature of the lover. My friends, we are called to have this kind of love for one another. We are called to have this kind of love for our disciples seated next to us in the pews, for our friends that we meet on the streets every day, and for people we do not even know. We are called to love with the same love that Jesus expressed when he was born, when he lived, and when he died. We are called to love. And that love, my friends, is not a love, therefore, that demands its own way. I was reminded, and I don't normally do this, but I'm bouncing over to yet another scripture today from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Agape is patient. Agape is kind. Agape is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Agape does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Agape does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Agape bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Agape never ends. Agape doesn't demand its own way. Agape doesn't say, well, if I can't have my own way, it's the highway. Agape doesn't say, well, if I can't have it the way I want it to be, I'm taking my toys and going home. Agape doesn't say, well, if the vote in that committee doesn't go the way I want it to go, I'm going to quit. Agape doesn't say, see, how many toes can I stomp on right now? Oops, I better back up. Agape doesn't say that my way, my arrogant, boastful, rude way, is the way it has to be. Agape is none of these things. Love, God's divine love, is none of these things. Love is patient. Love is kind. If only we could have patient agape, my friends. If only we could have kind, kindred agape for each other. That's the calling that Jesus has for his family today. That's the calling that Jesus has for his disciples today. Be patient. Be kind. Share the love that I have shared with you, that God has shared with you through me, Jesus says. Be patient, be kind. Share the agape love, the ultimate love, with each other. Don't fight. Don't tear yourselves asunder. Don't rip the family apart. Love one another. That's the calling we have today on this Sunday, on this Mother's Day, on this day in which we recognize from Scripture the love of God that He has for each and every one of us. The undeserved, unmerited, unearned love of God. Let us share that love with each other and be truly the family of God knitted together by His divine love. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.